Today's daf is Kufnun Beis Omid Aleph, and we'll start here on Kufnun Aleph Omid Beis, and we'll start with the Gemara of Tanya Rav Gamliel Berebi Omer. So we learned in a brisa that Rav Gamliel, the son of Rebbe, said, V'nasan l'cha rachamecha v'irichamcha v'herbecha. The pasuk tells us that God will bestow upon you the attribute of compassion and show compassion to you and multiply you. And this is in the pasuk in Dvarim Perkid Gimel. And it says, Kamarachim alabrius marachim olav min hashamayim. As we said yesterday, this is mida k'neged mida. Person shows compassion towards his God's creatures, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bestow compassion upon him. And now we get back to Koheles, and we're talking about the 12th parak of Koheles. And Koheles opens that parak by saying, remember your creator in the days of your youth, before evil days come, meaning older age comes, and those years arrive of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them, before the sun, the light, the moon, and the stars grow dark. So we have to remember our creator during our youth, and we should not delay until we get old. Then it's already going to be almost too late. So the pasuk says, before the sun, the light, and the moon, and the stars grow dark. Ad asher lo techshach ha-shemesh v'ha'or. And the Gemara is going to darshan each part of the pasuk. Zu padachas v'ha'chotem. Rashi says, Padachas is like the light of the countenance of a person's face. So that's the forehead, that's Padachas. And that is indicated, alluded to by the light. V'achotem, and the nose. So whereas the young man, who's very healthy and vigorous, his forehead shines like the light of the sun when he grows old. His forehead, which used to be so shiny, now becomes wrinkled, loses its luster. And again, the pasuk is referring to before the light dims and grows dark, meaning the face grows dark, as we said before, and the R here that dims is referred to as the nose, because the nose is the center of a person's face. Hayareach, the moon, zu neshama. The neshama is compared to the moon. And Rashi quotes the pasuk in Mishle, nishmas Adam, ner elokim nishmas Adam. So the areach is a reference to the neshama, to the soul of a person. Vakochavim elu halisatos, which are the cheeks, and they also shine, and that's like the stars. Vishavu ha'ovim achar hagashim, and the clouds return after the rain. And this is an allusion to a person's eyesight. Shaholech achar habechi, which grows weak, the eyesight grows weak as time passes because of bechi, because of weeping. Rashi says when a person grows old and he has so many troubles and so many travails and he doesn't feel well and he has this and that, he goes from one doctor to the other, he's not as strong as he used to be, he gets depressed, he weeps. And that weeping will further weaken his eyesight. And this is alluded to with the clouds that follow the rains that cover the sun and the light. Omar Shmuel Haidim Asa, tears and weeping, Ad Arbaim Shana. It's very healthy for the eyes up to the age of 40 when the eyes tear, and Hadra means returns. In other words, the body will replace those fluids that are lost by weeping, but Mikam V'Elech from the age of 40 and on, Lo Hadra, the body no longer replaces the fluid that's lost, and the eyes become dry, and because of this dryness, it affects in a negative way a person's eyesight. V'Yomer Rav Nachman, Hai Kuchala. Kuchala is a kind of salve that you put in the eye. Ad Arbaim Shonin Marvach. It is very helpful and beneficial for the eyes for the first 40 years of a person's life. But Mikan V'Elech, afterwards, Afilu Malya, even if you would apply a very large quantity of this Kochala, Ke Avisona de Girdoi, it would, even if it would fill a weaver's beam, I mean, that's the large volume of quantity of the salve, nevertheless, Ukumi Mokin, at best he could hope that it'll preserve his eyesight, but Arvuche Lo Marvach, it doesn't improve his eyesight. Maika Mashmalon, what's the significance of this teaching of Rav Nachman? And he specifically compares this salve in great volume to a weaver's beam, which is called Avisona de Girdoi are the weavers. De Kama di Alam Mikuchla Tfei Mala. He wants to tell us that as long as a person is young, then this mikhol, which was a wooden stick that was dipped into the salve and then dabbed into the eye, the thicker the dabber, the better it is for the eye. And the Gemara illustrates that, and why weeping could be negative for eyesight and dries the eyes. Rabbi Chanina Shchiva Leibarta, Nebuch, Rabbi Chanina lost a daughter, he did not cry over her loss. Amrle de Besa, his wife said to him in a symbolic way, how could you not cry? Tarnagola fikas mi Besa. You know, a beautiful hen has been taken out of your house and you're not crying. Amrle, he said to her, Tarte. In other words, it's bad enough that I lost my daughter. Now, another misfortune, Tikla v'Ivara, I should lose my eyesight as well. I should suffer from blindness, loss of eyesight, as well as loss of a child. Sovraloki ha di Amr Rab Yochanan Mishum Rab Yossi ben Ktsarta. Rab Chanina subscribes to that which Rab Yochanan said in the name of Rab Yossi ben Ktsarta. Sheish Dmos, and there are six kinds of tears. Shalosh Yofos v'Shalosh Ros. There are three good ones and three bad ones. Shel Oshan v'Shel Bechi, if your eyes are irritated by smoke or even crying, and here we turn to the Dafa today, Kuf Nun Beis Amin Alf, Shel Beis Akise, Ros, these are bad for the eyes. Sometimes a person also tears when he's in the bathroom, if he has stomach pains and so forth. Shel Sam v'Shel Schok, Vishal Peros Yafos. However, tears caused by medicine or by laughter or by the aroma of, for example, mustard or onions, things that are very pungent, Yafos, those are good for the eyes. The Pasuk in Koheles says, Bayom Sheyazu Shomrei Habayis Visavsu, in the day when the guards of the house will tremble, and the powerful men will stoop, and the grinders are idle because they are few, and the gazers through windows are dimmed. So Shlomo Melech is talking about old age now, and he's comparing the body as it gets older and it begins to lose its power of youth to a house that's in ruins,
Vayom Shiazu Shomrei Abayis Elu Haksolim Vahatzlos. So when we're talking about the guards of the house, that's symbolic of the flanks and the ribs. In other words, these are the fleshy parts of the sides of a person between the ribs and the hip. And these fleshy parts start drooping down with old age. Vis avsu anshei achoyl, and the powerful men will stoop. Elu shokayim, these are the thighs or the legs, and they start stooping down. It becomes more difficult to walk in old age. And these legs are considered powerful men in the pasuk because they support the entire body. Ubatlu atochanos, and the grinders are idle. Elu ashinayim, this is a metaphor for the teeth that grind the food. And the teeth fall out in old age. Vechashchu haros ba'arubos, and the gazers through the windows are dimmed. Elu einayim, and the eyes begin to dim in old age. And therefore, again, as we said yesterday, Koheles is admonishing a person to take advantage of his youth and serve Hashem when he has his powers, not wait till old age when the body starts deteriorating. The Gemara now tells us a story. Amalei Kesar l'Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya. So the emperor of Rome questions one of the greats amongst the Jewish giants in that generation, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, and he says, "My time alo osis le Be Avidon." Be Avidon was a house where the Orthodox Jews used to debate against the Tzdukim, different types of deviant Jewish movements, and that was the place where they used to hold the debates. And Rabbi Yeshua did not show up to represent the traditional religious view and argue against these deviants. And the case I wanted to know, why doesn't he show up? Amalei. So Rabbi Yeshua responded, Tur is a mountain, Tlag is Sheleg, because in Aramaic the Tuf replaces the Shin. So we have a mountain of snow, Sacharone Glidi. Okay, so first let's talk about the mountain of snow. The mountain, which is the high point, represents the head. And the head now is full of snow, which means my hair is white. And not only that, but scharone glidin. The pasuk tells us that surrounding the mountain there is ice. And that's the lower part of the head, where the beard is, and the beard is also white like snow, like ice. Kalboi lo novchin. The dogs do not bark. And we'll see the Gemara is going to interpret what that means. Tachanohi lo tochan, and the grinders do not grind. In other words, he's talking about old age, and Rabbi Yeshua is explaining to the Kesar why he doesn't show up in this Beis Avidon. And the answer is, I'm so old, I walk in a bent position, I shake a lot, and it looks to me like I'm looking on the ground and I'm looking for some coin that I lost because I'm bent over. In Yiddish that's called eingebogen, if you're familiar with that word. And Beirav Amri, in the Academy of Rav, they used to say about Rabbi Yeshua that he added the following, Adla Avidna Bachishna. I'm looking for something that I never lost, meaning I'm bent over and it looks like I'm looking for a coin, but I never actually lost a coin. That's how an old person looks when they suffer because the spinal column starts bending over. Okay. Tanya, we have a braisa, Rabbi Yossi Bar Kisma Omer, Tova Tre Mitlas. Tova means it's better. Two are better than three. Which means two legs of a young person that hold up a young person are better than the three legs of an old person. Because an old person, in addition to his two legs, he has a cane. Vaylo lechada di azla v'lo asya. When a person reaches old age and he can't walk on his feet, then he cries out to Hashem, woe to something that goes and doesn't come back, meaning my youth is gone and it'll never be replaced. Maihi, what does it mean it'll never be replaced? Amar Rav Chisda, Yankusa, youth can never be replaced. Once it's lost, it's gone. This is the existential situation of man. Time flies. Ki Asa Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Omar, he said, Yankusa Klila deravda. Deravda is a rose. Klila is a bunch of roses. Yankusa is youth. Youth is like a bunch of roses. It has the smell of roses. Sibusa Klila dechilfa. However, the old age, Rashi says that Klila dechilfa is a kind of a vegetable that has a foul smell. And old age is compared here to something that has a foul smell. Again, this is all meant by Koheles to try to wake us up and use and exploit our youth when we have our physical strength. That's when we should take advantage of our strength in order to fulfill the will of God. Tana Mishmei de Rabbi Meir. We have a brice in the name of Rabbi Meir. Dok bechache v'tishkach b'nigre. Chew with your teeth and find food in your steps. In other words, chew your food well, slowly, and if you do so, you'll feel the beneficial effects when you bounce, so to speak, on your walk. You'll have an extra strength that's given to you by chewing your food properly. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says in Yirmiyo, V'nisbal lechem v'niya tovim v'ra lo ra'inu. If we'll be satiated by bread, then it means we'll live well and we'll see no evil. So again, digestion is very important. So eat properly and digest your food. Chew it up well. Amale Shmuel Rav Yehuda Shinina. Shinina means that you are a brilliant person. Shrei Sakech V'ayl Lachmech. Open your mouth and let bread enter. Adar Boim Shnin Michla Ma'alia. Till 40 years old, solid foods are beneficial for the body. Mikav Yelch Mishte Ma'alia. It's better when you're after 40 to drink liquids rather than fill up on solids. Okay, now here we're about to study a confrontation between a certain Stuki and Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. And this Stuki is called Goza'a, and he is trying to antagonize Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. Amalei ahu guzah, this Stuki turns to Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, and he says to him, Mehacha lekarchina kamahavi, from where I'm standing, how far is it to karchina? The word karchina is an allusion to someone who's bald. In Hebrew, it's called kereach. Rabbi Yeshua was the son of a bald person, and Rabbi Yeshua himself was bald. So the tzduki, the guzah, wants to antagonize Rabbi Yeshua. So he calls him the bald one. How far is it from here, where I'm standing, to you, where you're standing? You're the bald one. Amalei. So Rabbi Yeshua says to this guzah. Now the word guzah, as we said, is either a name of a place from where he came, or guzah is the Aramaic for a saris. And amalei, so now that this saris, this tzduki, is trying to antagonize Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua fights back, and he says, you want to know the distance between you to me? It's kamei hacha, from me, ligozanya, to gozanya. And again, either gozanya means the name of a place from where this gozar came, or more likely, gozanya is the word for a eunuch, a saris. So if you're calling me the bald one, I'm calling you a saris. Amalei tzduki. So the tzduki returns and fights back to Rabbi Yeshua, and he says, barcha karcha biarba. which means a bald member of the flock is sold for 4 dinar. In other words, let's say sheep have wool on their backs, but let's say, for example, a goat is very often called a bald goat because, unlike the sheep, it doesn't have wool. So again, this guzah, this tzuki, is trying to antagonize Yehoshua ben Korach about his baldness. And he refers to a bald goat who is sold for only 4 dinarim. Amale, so Rabbi Yeshua responds again to antagonize the guzah, ikra shlifa bismanya, which means a castrated member of the flock sells for 8 zuzim. And again, he's using the word castration because he's hinting that this guzah is castrated. Chazia de lo siem misane. The eunuch, the castrated tzuki, notices Rav Yeshua is not wearing shoes. There's a whole discussion here in the Mefarshim as to why Rav Yeshua was not wearing shoes. Perhaps this whole confrontation, says the Marsha, took place on a Tisha B'Av, or perhaps on Yom Kippur, and he had no right to wear shoes. So now the tzuki finds another opening to antagonize Rabbi Yeshua ben Korach because he's not wearing shoes. And he says the following, a three-part presentation. Omale, the Alsus, a person who rides on a horse, we call him Melech. He's the most mechubad. He's the most honored person. He's a horse rider. Al Chamor, if a person doesn't have the money for a horse and instead he rides a donkey, Ben Chorin. We won't call him a king, but we'll call him a free person. He's one latch lower. Udeminale Birigliowi Bar Inish. Only someone who has shoes on his feet is called a human being that's alive. A dead person is buried without his shoes. The Chafir Kavir, if they dig the grave and they bury him, Tav Mine. And a person who is buried after his death without shoes is better than a live person who doesn't wear shoes, because the live person has the ability to wear shoes. Amale, Rabbi Yeshua again comes back to antagonize this stuki, and he says, Goza, Goza, you castrated eunuch. Tlus Amritla, Li, you said 3 levels, and Tlus Shamat, now you'll hear 3 levels. Hadras Panim Zokon. The beauty of a face is in a person's beard. Simchas lev, and the joy of a person's heart is Isha, because he's married to a woman. Nachlas Hashem bonim, and the nachla of a person to bequeath to the next generation, his legacy is children. And Baruch HaMokom Sheminoachal Mikula, blessed be God who has prevented you from having any of these 3. You're castrated, you don't have a beard, you don't have the ability to get married, and certainly you don't have children. Amale, so this guzah responds to Rabbi Yeshua, and he says to him, Karcha Mitsuyona. Mitsuyona means you want to start a battle with me, you're trying to initiate provocation and antagonism. Amale, Yeshua says, what are you talking about? Ikra Shlifa Tochacha. You, the castrated one, you are the one who provocated me. You are the one who started and initiated this antagonism and this confrontation. Now, some of the Mefarshim of Ibn Chananel and others seem to assume that the motivation here of Rabbi Yeshua and this entire confrontation was tochacha, to try to get this stuki to realize that he should do tshuva. Amale, a new story here, also about old age. Rabbi Yeshua ben Chalafta, mitnei malo hikbalta panecha, hikbalnu panecha beregel. Why is it that on Yontif, when we have a mitzvah to be makabel pnei Rabbi, we did not do so? This was Rabbi's humble way of really asking Rabbi Yeshua ben Chalafta, who was on a lower level than Rabbi, why didn't you, Rabbi Yeshua, come to visit me during the regal? Kiderech shekbilu avosai le'avosecha. And my forefathers were makabel ponim for your forefathers on the regel. So why didn't I deserve that you would visit me on the regel? Amalei sloim nasu gvoim. Rocks I used to climb when I was youth. Nasu gvoim, they became very tall. In other words, now they seem taller to me. It's very hard for me to climb. I'm getting old. Krovim nasu rechokim. Things that when I was young seemed very near, now become distant. It's very difficult for me to travel these distances. Mishnayim nasu shalsh. I used to have two legs to walk on. Now I have three legs to walk on because I need a cane. Mesim shalom bebayis batel. And that organ of the body that is for shalom, meaning for intimacy, is completely non-functional. And the Gemara goes back now to the psukim in Perek Yud Beis of Koheles to interpret them. V'sugru t'lasayim bashuk, when the doors in the street are shut, elu nekavav shel adam, a person has difficulty in going to the bathroom when he gets older. And bishval kol hatachana, the sound of the grinding is low, a low sound. Bishvil kurkavon she'eno tochen. It means there's a part of the stomach that's meant to digest the food and grind the food, and it doesn't function anymore as it used to. V'yokom lekom lekol hatzipa. We wake up at the voice of a bird. Shafilu tzipa minaroso mishinoso. An old person has trouble sleeping, and a very, very soft sound of a bird chirping will wake him up out of his sleep. V'yishachu kol Binos Hashir, all the voices of song grow dim. I mean, he's getting deaf in his old days. He can't even hear. Afilu kol sharim visharos domos olav kishucha. Even the voice of male singers, female singers, sound to him like a whisper. Today, Baruch Hashem, you can have an implant, but in those days, they didn't have that. The af barzalaya giladi omar lidavid. David wanted to know why this person by the name of Barzillai, who came from Gilad, why he did not come close to the king. He could have been in the inner circle, the Roi Pnei HaMelech. Why didn't he join? And his response, Barzillai, was, Ben Shmonim Shana Nochi Ayom, I am 80 years old. Ha'eda Ben Tov Ra. Do I know the difference between good and bad? Mikan, what do we see from here? Shede Osan Shalskeda Mishtanos. That with advanced years, a person is no longer capable of differentiating and distinguishing between good and evil. His mind is not sharp. And now Barzillai continues and he says, Im yitam avdecha es asher ochal v'es asher eshte. He asks in a question form, can your servant taste any food? Can he enjoy the taste of drink? Mikad she sifsoseim shalskedim misraptos, that the lips of a person become split or start drooping down, and therefore he no longer can enjoy his food or his beverages. Im eshma od b'kol sharim v'sharos, and when he said, can I tell the difference between a male singer or hear the voice of a female singer? Mikad shaznam shel zkeinim miskavdos, the ears of a person become heavy, which means that they lose their sharp sense of hearing that they had during their youth. Omar Rav. Rav says, Barzillai Giladi Shkara Havi. The whole story that he told David was a lie. He was really trying to cover up for the fact that he didn't want to be in the inner circle. He wasn't such a tzaddik, this Barzillai. And I'll prove it to you, says Rav. Dahi Amsa Davi Bei Rebbe. There was a maidservant in the house of Rebbe. She was 92 years old. Bas Tisha, Tishin v'tartin shnin, v'avis tama kidra. She would taste the food. She was the expert to determine whether it was tasty and delicious enough to serve in the base Rebbe. You see that even a 92-year-old person can taste. So this story about Barzillai that he can't taste food because he's 80 years old, that's a bunch of hogwash, as we would say. Rav Amar Barzillai Giladi Shatuv Bezima Havi. Rav wants to claim that already at the age of 80, he was prematurely old. And why did he get old prematurely? Because during his youth, he spent his time in Zima, in immorality. V'kala Shatuv Bezima Zikna Kofetzes Olav. when a person spends his youth in sexual promiscuity, then he's going to get old earlier. There's a payback. And if this be the case, then it could be that Baruch Eloi was telling the truth, and even though he was only 80, he was prematurely old, because he was a person who was shot of bezima. Tanya, we have a Bryce, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Talmidei Chacham, Kolzman, Shabbat, Zekinim, Chochman, and Tvosefes Bahem. Even though old age has a deteriorating impact on the physical body, but on the mind, if he spends his time dedicated to Torah, and he comes every morning to learn a Daf Yomi, then his zikna, his old age, will bring him an increase in his wisdom. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says in Iov, Bishishim Chachma. Yishishim are older people, Chachma, that's where you'll find wisdom. V'orech yomim tvuna, and with old age there is wisdom. But Ami Oretz, in contrast to the people who are totally uninterested in studying Torah, the Igaravis is Kol Shabbat Shabbat, when they get older, Tipshus Nitfosefis Bahem, they become even more foolish as they get old. Shenemar, as we see an apostle, in the end of the Pasuk in Iov, it says, Meser Safa L'Nemonim V'Tam Zkenim Yikach. He distorts the utterances of the trustworthy and takes reason away from the elders. And who is this elderly person that is being described in this Pasuk? And the answer is that one Pasuk refers to the old people, they're considered wise. The second Pasuk says that they are old and they're deprived of reason. So Rabbi Shmuel says we can reconcile this because the Talmud Chacham is wise as he get older, whereas the ignoramuses will get even more foolish as they get older. And we go weiter in the Pasuk in Koheles, Gam migavoa yirou, they fear heights, afilu gav shushis ktana, even when they see a small mound on the ground, domelov kahari harim, it's like a gigantic mountain, he's afraid that it'll trip and fall. That's the biggest fear of old people, that they may break a hip, chas v'shalom. Vechat chatim baderech, there are terrors on the road, b'shoshim alech baderech nasulo tivahim, Tvahim are fears. He's full of fear when he walks on the road, because with every turn, with every step, he's afraid he might trip and fall. V'yonetz hashoked, and the almond tree blossoms. Hanetz harimonim. Hanetz means to jut out, to grow. Zuk livosev, the hips start getting wider. V'yistabel hechogov, elu agovos, and his buttocks become wider. And Rashi explains that the reason why the Pasuk mentions shoked. Shoked is an almond tree, because the almond trees mature and grow very quickly, even before other trees do. So this is the idea of protrusion, that there are certain parts of his hip and his buttocks that start protruding with old age. V'tofer ha'vyona zuchemda, and the avyona fails. The aviona is a word that refers to chemda, to desire. So that organ of the body that has desire for women begins to wane. That desire wanes in old age. And Rav Kahana avi posuk sidra kami de Rav, when Rav Kahana was describing and interpreting this posuk in the presence of Rav ki motalai kro, and he came to this posuk of etofer aviona nagid ve'itnach, Rav let out a sigh, a krecht. Amar Rav Kahana said, you know why Rav is krechting? Shma minah, I learned from this, that batalei chemdei derav, that Rav no longer had that desire for an intimate relationship with a woman. And that was indicated in this pasuk. Amar Rav Kahana, my dechsiv, what is the meaning of the pasuk in Tehillim? Ki hu amar v'yehi hu tzivav ayamod, God spoke and it came true, zu isha. It's only because God spoke that we should have a desire for a woman, that's why we have such a desire for women. And what does that mean? Hutziva vayamode lubanim? And when it says that he commanded and it took form, this is a reference, an allusion to one's children. And again, because of that desire to have a relationship with a woman, which God implants in us, that desire, therefore, we are able to have children. Vayamod means there'll be some continuity and some legacy throughout children. Tana, the Brisa says, Isha Chemas Molitsoa. If you take a look at a woman from a pure biological standpoint, she's like a jug that's full of excretions, meaning she, very often because of her different biological systems, she lets air out and so forth. So Pia Boli Dam and her vaginal area down there is called the Pishal Mata, has menstrual blood. And there's some things about a woman that are, in a sense, on a physical level, are repulsive. And yet, Hakol Rotzem Achreya, everyone's chasing after a woman. And this is all because Hu Tziva V'Omar V'Yehi. It's only because God has decreed that we would desire a woman. Because really, in her extremities, she has bodily fluids and so forth and so on. That should really repulse a person from having relations with her. But God declared that we should have this desire for women. And I call Ratzim Achreha. Ki Olecha Adam El Beis Olamo. Shlomo Melech in Kohelis says that a man goes to his eternal rest. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Melamit Shekol Tzadik V'Tzadik Nosnim Lo Mador Lefich Vodo. The Pasuk says Beis Olamo, his, in the possessive singular, eternal rest, which means that although we all die, but each person after death will get his lodging, so to speak, in the world to come, and that will reflect his level of personal piety in this world. Mashal, I'll give you a metaphor. Lemelech shenichnas hu v'avodav le'ir. The king, like everyone else, all the other servants, entered into the same gate. You can't tell the difference between the king and his servants, right? They're all entering into the same gate. Nichnasim kulim b'shara echad nichnasim. Kshein lanim, but when they go to sleep at night, the king gets the beautiful palace, kol echad v'echad nosin lo mado l'fichvodo, and the various servants of the king will get different kinds of lodgings in different levels and gradations. You know, there'll be first class and second class, and that will reflect the level and the eminence of that particular servant. So too here, we all die in the same death, we all go through death, and yet we will each have our own madur, our own lodging that is befitting our spiritual eminence. Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, furthermore, Rabbi Yitzchak says, "My dechsiv." What does the pasuk mean in Kohelis when it says, "Ki hayaldus vashachrus hevel," that childhood and youth are vanity? And it means Dvarim Shadim Osa Bialduso Mashchirim Panav Leizikna. If he spends his young days in promiscuity, that will blacken his countenance in old age. He'll become prematurely old because he has involved himself too excessively in sexual relations. The Omar Rav Yitzchak, furthermore, he said, Kosher Rima Lames Kimachat Libosar Chai. The worms that crawl in and eat up the flesh of the deceased are painful for the deceased, like sticking pins into the flesh of a living person. Shenemar, as the pasuk says in Iov, Ach b'soro olav yichov, his flesh will be pained over itself, and we're talking about a dead body. Omar Rav Chisda, Nafsho shalodim isabelis olav kol shiva, that the spirit of a person, the soul of a person, is sitting shiva for 7 days over the loss of the body. Shenemar v'nafsho olav te'eval, that the soul, the neshama of a person, mourns itself. What does it mean, itself? It mourns its own body that has died, because the body was part of the soul and the body fulfilled mitzvos, and now the body is dead. And that's avails for the neshama of that body. Uksiv v'yas li'ov evel mishn Shivas Yomim, and it says after the death of Yaakov, it says there was avelus for 7 days, and this 7 day period is the period in which the soul mourns for itself, meaning for its own body. And the Gemara is going to demonstrate this with the following story. Rabbi Yehuda Mes She'en Lo Menachamim. If, let's say, for example, a person dies without any close relatives, that could be very relevant to the case of a convert, is who's going to be misaba? Where are the mourners? Holchem asar b'nei ol yoshim mekomo. We set up 10 men, and they sit in the place where he lived or where he died, and there'll be 7 days of avels. People will come and be menachem them. It's kind of like an artificial base avel. And once again, if there are no avelim to be misabel, then the neshama will not get any nechama. Right? The neshama is now grieving for 7 days. Who's going to be menachem? So we set up 10 men, and now we come to be menachem, and then the neshama gets its nechama. Hahu d'shachet b'shivusa d'Rabbi Yehuda. One of Rabbi Yehuda's neighbors died. Lo hayu lo menachemim. There were no mourners to come and sit shiva, or alternatively, maybe there were mourners, but there were no people coming around to console the mourners. It's called like during a plague or something like that. Called Yoma Havi Dova Rabbi Yehuda Be'asara. Rabbi Yehuda would gather together 10 people on a daily basis. The Asve Beduchte, and they sit in a place where this person had lived in his lifetime. Liachar Shiva Yomim. And he had a dream after 7 days. Ischazi levichomi to Rabbi Yehuda, this neighbor of his who had died, showed up in a dream. Yomalei, and he says to Rabbi Yehuda, Tanuach Daitcha, you deserve to have your mind set at ease in all your problems and challenges in life. Why? Mido keneged mishi nachtas daiti, because you set my mind at ease. So we see that there's a period in which a person, his own neshama, needs the nechama for that 7 day period after his death. Omer Abayavo, Kala Omrim, Kol Shomrim, B'Thema, anything that you say in the presence of the dead body, like at the funeral, Yodea, the person who died is aware of what you said, Adshi Sosem HaGolel. What is Adshi Sosem HaGolel? Here we have a Machlokas Rashi Rabbeinu Tam. According to Rashi, when they put a person into a stone, a kind of casket, then they would put a stone on top of that stone. That's called Yisosem HaGolel. Rabbi Tam learns that the Golel is the Matseva, that after the burial is complete, you put up a Matseva. So until what moment in time do the deceased hear what the people are saying about them on this earth? Until Yisosem HaGolel. Pligiba, we have Machlok Shim Rab Chia and Rab Shimon Berebi. Chad Omer Adshi Yisosem HaGolel. According to one opinion, until the point of Yisosei Magolel, the dead is aware of what's being said in his presence. Chadomer, the other opinion, said, Adshis Akel HaBosar, until the flesh decomposes in the grave. And the Gemara now analyzes this machlokas. Mandi Omer Adshis Akel HaBosar, from whence do we derive the conclusion that as long as the flesh has not yet decomposed, there wasn't Ikal HaBosar, the dead is still aware of what's being said about him here on this earth, Echsiv. And this is going to be derived from a pasuk in Eov. It says, Ach Besoro Olav Yichav V'Nafsho Olav Teva. This is a pasuk we quoted earlier. The flesh is pained, and his soul shall mourn itself. And it says the flesh is pained. What brings pain to the flesh? The flesh is not yet deteriorated, and the mess is listening to what's being said about him. And heaven forbid we shouldn't say something derogatory about the dead until after the flesh has decomposed. But man diomachi yisosem agolel, what is he going to do? How is he going to learn that the mess is still ceases to be aware of what's being said about him once the casket is covered with even? With a stone, d'chsiv, because of the pasuk in Koheles, it says, "V'yashov ha'afar ala aretz kishahaya," the dust shall return to the earth as it was, and the dust here is a reference to the human body, and the body of man was created from the dust, and when the body is lowered into the ground and it returns to the dust, then the neshama returns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the body, after it's buried, is like the dust. It's totally oblivious of what's going on around. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in the Brayso of Ruach Toshuv. Again, the Pasukim Koheles, the spirit returns. El Elokim, to God, Asher Nesana, who gave the spirit. Tanolo Kimoshe Nesanolo. Tanolo, give it back to Hashem, the same way that you got it. Notice, when you receive the soul betara, the soul was in a state of purity. Afato betara, when you return it in the same state of purity. Tnolo kemoshen ason Allah. Mashal melech basovidom, I'll give you a metaphor. A king, chilek bigdei malchus lavodov, he gave out beautiful royal clothing to his servants, and he expected them to use it but return it. Pichin shebem, the smart ones, kiplum v'nichum b'kufsa, instead of wearing them, they locked them up in a box because they knew that at any moment the king may demand it in return. Tipshit. Now, it doesn't mean that they didn't wear it at all. They wore these begadim, but only for special occasions. Otherwise, they kept it in a box, locked up. Tipshin by them, the foolish ones, holchu v'asu b'malacha. They would do even the most menial forms of labor, and the clothes were dirty. Liyamim, at some point, unbeknown to them, b'kesh ha-melchus kelof, he demanded his garments in return. Pichin shebem efziru lokshe magu hotzim. The smart ones took it out of the box. They were perfectly pressed and in beautiful condition. And the king is going to be very happy about that. But tipshim shebem echzirum lok shemeluch lochim. The tipshim were caught unawares. They had not yet gotten a chance to send the king's apparel to the laundry. And they gave it back in a dirty state. Yisomach hamelch lekras pichim. The king was very happy with the smart ones. Vekas lekras tipshim. He was angry at the foolish ones. So therefore, what kind of reward or punishment? Al pichin omar, he says, yinosein kelai liotzar, I'll take my garments, I'll place them directly into the chest, and they now have retained their royal status. Vehem, and the pichim, yelchu levateim l'shalom, let them go back home in peace. In other words, they should experience peace, and I'll make sure that I guarantee them peace. But al atimshim amar, with regard to the foolish ones, is kelai yinos lekovitz, I'll have to give the kelim over to the launderer to clean them. They're dirty, they're soiled. Vehem yischavshu bebeis asurim, they have to be locked up in prison because this was not proper behavior that they took my beautiful royal apparel and they dirtied them, gave it back to me in a dirty state. Av HaKadosh Baruch Hu, here's the nimshal. Al gufon shel tzadikim omer, with regard to the physical bodies of the righteous people, yavo shalom yanuchal mishkavam, let them come in peace, let them rest in peace. And the reason why they should rest in peace is because they are returning the neshama that I invested in them in a beautiful state of purity, and therefore they deserve to go b'shalom because they guarded my royal apparel properly. Val nishmasanu omer, and regarding the neshamas of the tzaddikim, the pasuk says, okay, this pasuk is Avigail who's talking to David HaMelech, and she was an aviyah. And she says, "Vayisah nefesh adonit tzura b'tzar chayim." Let the master, the soul of my master, be tied up in the bundle of life. And this is a way of trying to be mefayes, to pacify David, because she was married to Nabal, and David had an in against Nabal, and she tried to pacify him, and she said that if you'll be pacified, and instead of destroying your enemies, you will be patient and you wait for God, then God will reward you and you'll be tied up in the bundle of life. Al gufet shal rishoyim u'omer, in contrast, the Yeshayahu Anovi says, Ein shalom amar l'Hashem l'rishoyim, the evildoers have no peace whatsoever. Ve'al nishmosim u'omer, regarding the souls of the evildoers, the Pasuk says, again, here's a Pasuk in Tanakh, in Shmuel, Aleph es nefesh oivecha, Yikalena b'soch kaf hakola, the soul of your enemy will be like a sling, and you shoot the stone that comes out of the sling and goes from one side to the other. It means the neshama of the rishayim will be bouncing around one way or the other. Will have no peace. Tanya, we learned in the Brisa, Rabbi Elezer Omer, nishmasin shel tzadikim gnuzos tachas kisei hakavod, the souls of the righteous have a special secure place underneath the kisei hakavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shenemar, as Avigail the Neviah said, v'aisa nefesh adoni tzura b'tzar chayim, the soul will be tied up with a bundle of eternal life, which means the kisei hakavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shorishoyim, zomamos v'holchos, However, the souls of the evildoers will be perpetually confined, as if to say they'll be incarcerated in jail. They're trapped inside a sling, like we said that the rock goes back and forth from the kafakela. Umalach echad omid b'sofa olam, is an angel that stands at the very end of the universe, wherever that is. Umalach acher omid b'sofa olam, at the other end of the universe, is another ma. Umekalim nishmasom zemizeh, they take the neshamas of the rishayim and they bounce it back like a sling, back and forth from one end of the universe to the other. Shenemar v'yeis nefesh oivecho yikaleno b'soch kaf hakolah. The souls of your enemies, the enemies of God, the evildoers, will be like a sling that goes from one end to the other end. Omalei Rabbah Rav Nachman Shel Beinu Nimar. What about those people who are neither tzaddikim nor rishoyim? They're right in the middle, they're beinonim. What is their status? What happens to their soul after death? Will they have peace? Or will they go back and forth like a slingshot of the evildoers? Ika Shchivna Lo Amri Lechu Haimilsa. And Rav Nachman responded that I didn't die yet, so how can I possibly know the answer to your question? Now, this is very strange, because it sounds like Rav Nachman is considering himself a Beinoni. Okay, so for that, we'd have to really study the first chapter in a book called the Sefer HaBeinonim, otherwise known as Likutei Tanya, of the Balatanya. Anyway, Amalei, so Hachi Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, Elu v'elu l'duma nimsarin. Okay, there's an angel by the name of Duma, and the souls of both the Rishayim and the Beinanim are given over to the hands of this Malach by the name of Duma. And Duma, says Rashi, is the Malach who oversees the spirits, the neshamas of the dead. And now, what is Duma going to decide? Halalu, with regard to the souls of the Beinonim, Yesh lehem manoach, they will have some sort of a rest. Halalu, Ein lehem manoach. But in the case of the wicked, they will have no rest. So Duma will make this happen. So it seems like, as far as the Beinim is concerned, they will have rest. This Gemara, by the way, again, this is not for us now, but it has to be reconciled with the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah about the Beinim, because the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah seems to assume that the Beinim, if they don't do tshuva, then they will be Nidonim, how do you say in English, they will be written down in the book of the Mason. Here you get the impression that the neshama of the Beinanim will be guaranteed rest by this Malach called Duma. And it's possible that the Gemara Rosh Hashanah is not a steer, because there we're talking about a case where he could have done tshuva and he didn't do tshuva. That itself is a sin. Here we're talking about Beinanim. Or it could be the Beinanim here, we're talking about the soul and not talking about the body. Anyway, Amalei Rav Mari. Okay, here's a statement. Take out the word lei. Amar Rav Mari. Rav Mari said, Asidim tzaddikim davi afra. The tzaddikim, their bodies will be turned into dust, just like the bodies of the Rishayim. Notice the bodies of the tzaddikim will decompose, the chsiv. As the Pasuk says in Koheles, it says V'yashov ha'far la'aretz kishahaya, and the pasuk doesn't differentiate between a tzaddik and a rosh. It seems that in all cases the dust shall return to the earth, meaning the dust is a reference here to the human body that was created from the dust, and it will return to the earth. And now the Gemara has a question, a contradiction from the following story. Hanu kapuloi. Kapuloi are the grave diggers. Davi kaple bi'ara de Rav Nachman. Apparently, Rav Nachman had some sort of backyard, and he allowed the grave diggers to dig graves in the backyard. Well, as they were digging the grave, they came across a corpse, and that corpse, as we'll find out in a minute, is none other than Rav Achai bar Oshia, who had died generations early. He was one of the greats of his generation. And Nochar Bahu Rav Achai Bar Oshia. these grave diggers disturbed Rav Achai from his repose, from his graveside, and Nachar Bohu, he starts snorting at them. He starts aggravating them. Why did you disturb my sleep? Also, Rav Nachman, they were so freaked out. They came to Rav Nachman to tell him what happened. Nochar bar gavra, that a dead man started snorting at us. Also, Vyomalei, so Rav Nachman came to see the site and check out the corpse. My Minumar, who are you? Can you tell me who you are? Amalei, the corpse replies to Rav Nachman, Ano Achai Bar Oshia. Amalei, so Rav Nachman said to the corpse, this can't be. You can't be a dead person and yet you're not decomposed and you're communicating with me. Lav Amar Marmoria Sidei Tzadiki Dehavi Afra. Even the bodies of the righteous persons will become dust in the grave and they will decompose. And therefore, it's impossible that you could still be whole. Homolei, the corpse, replies to him, Umani Mori. Who's this Mori that you're quoting? Okay, very nice, you're quoting Mori. Lawyer Donnelly, I never heard of him, and I don't pay any attention to what he said. But Homolei, so Rav Nachman said, okay, fine, you don't care about Rav Mori, but Rav Mori quoted a pasuk. But Kroksiv, the pasuk says, V'yashov ha'afar ala arts kishahaya. And it doesn't make any difference whether you're a tzaddik or a rasha, the corpse returns to dust as it was created from the dust. Amalei, so Rav Achai says to Rav Nachman, the akaryach koheles lo akaryach mishle. Okay, somebody may have taught you a pasuk in koheles, but they didn't teach you a pasuk in mishle. Dechsiv, it says in mishle, rekav atzomos kina, that the reason why the bones will rot after death is because of kinah, because of envy. Mishi yesh lo kinah b'libo, someone who during his lifetime he suffers from envy, is atzmosov markivim, his bones will rot in the grave. But kol shein lo kinah b'libo, if he never suffered from envy, or at least in his older age he never suffered from envy, is ein atzmosov markivim, his bones will not decompose. And I'm not guilty of envy. I wasn't envious when I was alive. Therefore, my body retains its position even after its death. Gishashe. This is a very strange Gemara. The Marsha has a long shot here in this Gemara. Gishashe, Rav Nachman reached out. He wanted to feel Rav Acha and see if he really was a lot, you know, was a physical body. Chazi Dispe Mishashe. And he really confirmed that he has not only bones, but he had real flesh and bones. Amalei Rav Nachman says, Lekumar Legavi Debese, why don't you get out of your grave and go home to your wife and your children? Amalei. Now Rav Achai again makes fun of Rav Nachman. Golis Adai Tok, you've already indicated, you didn't know a pasuk in Mishle, Dafil Nevi Lo Karis. Now Mishle at least belongs to Ksuvim, but you should know the pasuk in Nevi'im. The pasuk in Nevi'im Dechsiv. And it says in Yechezkel, V'yadatim ki ani Hashem b'pischi es kivroseihem, God will reveal himself when he brings the dead out of their graves. So it's only God who can bring the dead out of the graves. Until God does so, it's not going to happen. Now Rav Nachman goes back and he says, Amalei turns to the body of Rav Achai and he says, V'aksiv ki ofer atov el ofer tashuv. At the beginning of Bereishis, God says to man that I've created you from the dust and you will return to the dust. And there's no difference here between tzaddikim, rishayim, between those who are envious during their life, those who don't suffer from envy. Amalei, hahusha achas kodem tchiyas hameisim. When it says that the body will decompose and from dust you will return to dust, and that refers even to the tzaddikim, as far as the tzaddikim is concerned, that's one moment before Tchiyas HaMeisim. Then the body will decompose so that through Tchiyas HaMeisim, the body will be born anew and be recreated. But up until the moment of Tchiyas HaMeisim, the body will not decompose, and that's why my body is not decomposed. I can't get out of the grave because we have to wait for Hashem to take the dead out of the grave. And now when we get to the moment of Tchiyas HaMeisim, my body will decompose in the snap of a finger and then it will be recreated at the time of the resurrection. Now, in order to understand why this will happen, why is it necessary for the body to first decompose in order to be resurrected, for that you have to know a lot more about Tchiyas HaMesim. But let's suffice it to say that after Tchiyas HaMesim, a person starts a whole new life. In fact, Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman, one of the greats of the previous generation, vacillates back and forth as to whether he has to remarry his wife, and what happened if she got married to someone else, who's she married to, the first husband, the second husband. I mean, this is Tutzak Velten on this issue about how exactly post-Tchiyas HaMesim is going to operate. But suffice it to say that with Tchiyas HaMesim, a person is given a new slate, a tabula rasa, to start life again. The Tzduki says to Rabbi Avo, Amrisu nishmasam shall tzaddikim gnuzos tachas kisei hakovod. After all, you made the statement that the neshamas of the righteous people are secured underneath the heavenly throne. Over tamya hechi aske lishmuel benegida. Now, we have a parsha in Shmuel, and actually, I should say Shaul more than Shmuel, but Shaul, through the kishuv power of the Ova Ovidoni, in this case she was a woman, were able to bring up Shmuel from the dead. And how is it possible that the dead Shmuel should come back and be raised here in our environment so that we could have a conversation with Shmuel? I mean, after all, Shmuel is... His neshama is gnuzos tachas kisei hakavod. He's up there in the kisei hakavod. And basically, this tzduki wanted to challenge Rabbi Avo that if the souls of the righteous really resided with God in his kisei hakavod, it would seem inconceivable that their souls could be summoned down by the call of a sorceress. Amalei, Rabbi Avo responded, Hasam b'toch shnei masar chodesh hafa. In the case of Shaul, within the first 12 months of Shmuel's death, then the soul has not yet reached the Kisei HaKovod, its final resting place. So it's hovering, and therefore she could bring him down. To Sanya, we have an Ebraisa, Kol Shneimasar Chodesh Gufo Kayom. For 12 months after death, the body still remains, to some extent, intact. V'nishmaso Ola V'yoredes. And the Neshama is somehow suspended between the two worlds. It goes up towards the heavenly world, it goes down towards this world. After 12 months, haguf batel, the body ceases to exist. Vinishmaso, here on the top of Kuf Nun Gimel Amin Aleph, Ola, and the neshama arises, never to come down again, and it finds its place. Tachas kisei hakov v'shuveni oredes, it will not come down. And the story with Shaul bringing Shmuel back through the agency of the sorceress, that took place during the first 12 months since Shmuel's death. Okay, we have another 2 minutes. Omer Rav Yehuda Bered Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat Mishmei Derav Mihespedo Shal Odom Nikar Im Ben Olam Abohu Im Lav. What do they say at a person's eulogy? And from that you can tell whether he was a tzaddik or not, whether he will go to the world to come, the eternal world. Ain't he? Va'amale Rav l'Rav Shmuel bar Shilat. Rav said to Rav Shmuel, I want to impose upon you a responsibility. Achim b'hespeda. I want you to warm up the people, get them all emotionally riled up when you give a hesped. Now, and he adds two words, the hasam ka'imna. And don't think you can get away with it, Shmuel, because I'm going to be there. So I'm going to know what you're saying and whether you're successfully evoking and inspiring the people through a moving hesped. Now, why does Rav have to bother with that? We just finished saying, in the name of Rav, that the hesped itself will guarantee... In other words, if we hear the good words of a hesped, it means he's a ben olam haba. Now, Rav certainly is a ben olam haba, so the hesped will definitely be a moving hesped, because that's going to be the barometer through which we evaluate, through which we determine if he's a ben olam haba. Rav is a ben olam haba, so certainly the barometer will show us that he is that the hesped is a moving hesped. Lo kasha ha demachamulei v'achim ha. v'lo achim. In the case of a tzaddik, if you give the right hesped, you'll be able to arouse the tears of the people. But if he's not a tzaddik and he's a rasha, then he will not be successful in arousing the emotional feeling of the tzibur. So let's just make a note of where we got up to. Emir Tzashem, tomorrow we'll start with Omele Abai Larabba, here on the top, about 7-8 lines down from the top of Daf Kuf Nun Gimel Amid Aleph, which leaves us with just about 4 dapim, less than 4 dapim, till Emir Tzashem we can be Messiahim Mesechta Shabbos. Wish everyone a great day, and let's not get scared about Zikna. We have to have Chizuk and be talking to Hashem that everything will be well.